In August of 2005, Newsweek magazine and BeliefNet.com asked 1,000 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. Thank you for being with me this morning. There are a lot of people in this country that believe in Jesus and yet do not practice and do not want to do what Jesus says. As I said, in August 2005, there were two papers or two magazines that asked 1,000 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. Among the questions was this one: can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? And here are their responses. The evangelical Protestants said 68% said yes. The non-evangelical Protestants, 83% said yes. Of the Catholics, 91% said yes. And of non-Christians of no religious affiliation at all, 73% said yes. For an average of 79% of people saying that yes, anyone can go to heaven. Just be a good person and you can go to heaven. The responses here are interesting. Most people believe that those of different faiths are saved. You drive down the road and there used to be billboards that would say attend the church of your choice, and implying that it really doesn't matter where you go to church as long as you believe or go to some church. Among Catholics and more liberal Protestants, the view here is overwhelming. 68%, 83%, and 91% agree that yes, you can go to heaven or have salvation just because. And even the majority of those who view themselves as evangelical agree. Now, this would suggest that many people, most people actually, believe that many will be saved. Well, I want to ask you, is that a true statement? You see, Jesus was asked a similar question in Luke 13 in verse 23. Someone said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he spoke on the subject of who will be saved. So what I want to talk to you this morning is what Jesus said in answer to that question. So the answer is, few will be saved. There are a lot of people that think that most everyone is going to be saved, or to put it another way, that most people are going to heaven. And yet Jesus taught that there will be few that are saved. Remember the question in verse 23. Are there few who are saved? And they're asking Jesus, the Son of God, this. He answered them in verse 24 there, and he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." In Matthew's account of this passage, he tells them to enter by the narrow gate, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." He says in verse 14, "Because narrow is the way, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I believe we would do well to remember that only 8 souls were saved during the flood in Genesis chapter 7. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 and 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. And then in Genesis 19, there were only 3 souls that were saved, if you will, from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That was Lot and his 2 daughters. Even though in the previous chapter, God and Abraham spoke about this destruction, and Abraham tried to mediate for the people of Sodom. And he asked the Lord, "If there are 50 righteous, will you save the city?" And God said, "Yes." But it's interesting that in that mediation, Abraham kept bringing the number down. And in the next chapter, we have the angels going to Lot's house and telling him that he needs to flee the city. And even Lot's wife was not saved. You remember that she turned and looked back after being told not to and was turned to a pillar of salt. You'll remember in going into the promised land that only 2 men Out of 603,550 people over the age of 20 were allowed to enter the land of Canaan. We see that in Numbers 14. And in that passage, you had the 12 spies that were sent to spy out the land. And they all, with the exception of two, came back and agreed that they couldn't take the land because they didn't believe in God. All except for Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb pointed out that with God on our side, that we can conquer the land. But the 10 were afraid. Sadly, there are few, or will be few, according to what Jesus says, who finds the way that leads to life. Again, we look at Matthew 7 and verse 14. And he says the reason for that is because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. When it comes to religion, a lot of people look for the easy path. And Jesus says, following him is not easy. He said, the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to eternal life. And what is the way that leads to life? Well, Jesus, we find that he taught on that subject as well. Jesus says he is the only way. Many people think that all religious people are saved. And some put it this way, it really doesn't matter what you believe, that we're all going to heaven. And yet Jesus taught that no one comes to the Father but through him. He says in John 14 and verse 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but yet they don't do what Jesus says. We would do well to remember the example of Cornelius. A religious person, a devout person, and yet he still needed salvation. We read about him in Acts chapter 10, in verses 1 through 6. We have his description there. The inspired word describes him as a devout man, an honorable man, and yet he still needed salvation. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, he was told, as Peter recounted there, he was told to send for Peter, who would tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. So it doesn't matter if you just live a good moral life, you still need salvation. The example of many other religious people who needed salvation, or one example of that would be the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2 and verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And in that same chapter, in verses 36 through 38, Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What about the devout Ethiopian who was returning from worship in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8? We notice in verse 27 that Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. In the next few verses in that same chapter, verses 35 through 38, Philip has approached him and he asked him, does he understand what he's reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone should teach me? Verse 35 says, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then there's the devout woman, Lydia, who was a worshiper of God and kept the Sabbath in Acts 16. And then we have the devout man named Saul, doing what he thought was the Lord's will and persecuting those of the way. In Acts 26, he recounts his conversion there. What I understand from these passages is that being religious is not enough. One cannot truly be a Christian who believes that salvation can be found outside of the gospel of Christ. We see that in Acts 4 and verse 12. But we also note that Jesus taught salvation is for those who obey. Many think that all who believe in Jesus will be saved, that we are saved by faith only, that there's no need for obedience. And yet Jesus warned of those who believed in him but were lost. In Matthew chapter 7, as he was winding down his Sermon on the Mount, in verses 21 through 23, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Jesus responds in verse 23 that I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." They believed him to be their Lord. They had spent their lives in service to the Lord, but they had not done the Father's will. We would do well to remember that Jesus is the author of salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. The end of those who do not obey his gospel can be found in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. He says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." What I learned from this is not all believers are going to be saved. James 2 and verse 19 tell us that the demons believe and yet tremble. Some believed but were unwilling to confess him, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. The text here says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." What I understand here is that believing that many, if not all, will be saved is a very comforting doctrine, a view that's praised as being tolerant and loving. But if one really wants to follow Jesus, then they must abide in his teaching from John chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. But what the text teaches here is that few will be saved, that Jesus is the only way, and that salvation is for those who are willing to do the will of his Father. Now, of course, God desires that all men be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And he has provided his Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice and the perfect mediator. But will we believe and obey his Son? You see, that's the question. I can claim to be a Christian, but unless I'm willing to do as the Son of the Father says, then I'm lost. I can say that I'm doing all these works in the name of the Lord, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, and unless I'm doing it according to his authority, I am lost. If you have any questions about this lesson, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook page, or you can leave a message at the Eastside Church, church@eastside.com. That's the website. Feel free to join us this morning at 10 a.m. for worship service. This evening at 6 p.m. we'll have a guest speaker today. His name is Ken Welliver. And then we'll have Bible study again Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Thank you again.